Let me just repeat my welcome again. Welcome to St John's this evening, and it's been a great evening, hasn't it? Are there any other Miranda fans in here this evening? I've just got the phrase, such fun, stuck in my mind at the moment. Well, Christmas is such fun, isn't it? But it also has the serious side, so let's just take a moment of prayer, and then I will talk about that Bible passage. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your great gift of the Bible, but most of all, we thank you because it talks about our Saviour Jesus Christ, and help us to focus on him now. Amen. Have you ever wondered what God is like? There's the old story, isn't there, about the child with coloured pencils who says she's going to draw a picture of God. And when her mum says, "But sweetheart, nobody knows what God looks like," she says, "Well, they will do by the time I finish drawing him." But if indeed nobody's ever seen God, how can we know what he's like? Where should we go to find out? We could try Google. That seems to be the fount of all knowledge these days, doesn't it? So I tried typing God into Google, and these are the top three results. The first was from Wikipedia. This is what Wikipedia has to say. I must admit, I'm going to read two sentences. I can't quite understand the first one. God usually refers to the single deity in monotheism or the monist deity in pantheism. God is often conceived of as the supernatural creator and overseer of humans and the universe. Well, that second sentence, there's a very telling word used there. It's the word conceived. God is often conceived of. So as far as Wikipedia is concerned, human beings conceive what God is like in their own minds. In other words, we don't actually know what God is like, even if he exists. So we have to make something up in our imaginations. Well, that's the first result from Google. The third result, well, it puts it far more bluntly. And the web address is a giveaway. It's www.godisimaginary.com. And it claims to offer 50 simple proofs to show that God doesn't exist. I have to say that those proofs didn't convince me that God is imaginary, but I wear a dog collar, so you'd expect me to say that. But the first proof was, try praying. And the webpage asks, will anything happen? And immediately says, well, of course not. Well, I do have to disagree. In my experience, God often does answer prayer. Not always in the way I was expecting it, but God knows better. But let's backtrack to the second result Google gives us. Interesting URL again, it's www.god.com. I like that URL. Well, this website again tries to tell us about God, but it comes from a completely different angle. It starts talking about Jesus Christ, and that certainly is a good place to begin. It's a right place to start, certainly according to that Bible reading we've just heard. Why do I say that? Well, the very last verse of that Bible reading from John chapter 1 says this: nobody has ever seen God, but God the one and only, or that could read the only begotten, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So it's an extraordinary statement, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is at the Father's side, has made God known to us. Let's just think through the logic of that. And I want to do that by using an illustration. I want to go back to a Christmas many years ago, back to my teenage years. A friend of mine had heard about this girl called Sharon. He thought she sounded nice, but he'd never seen her. Now, my friend could have simply sat there, imagining what this girl, Sharon, might have been like. But he didn't. He decided to take action, and he organised a party for us teenagers to take place a couple of days after Christmas. There's only one reason he organised the party, and that was to meet this girl. But anyway, it was a party, so we went along. He invited Sharon, of course, to the party, so he could get to know her. As it happens, when they met, they didn't hit it off. The girl of his imagination was different to the girl who turned up. And at the time, I thought that was jolly good news, because I took a shine to her, but that's a different story. However, it appears to me that many people do that with God. They sit around conceiving what God might be like, but they never get round to taking action by looking in the right place. I remember a friend once saying to me, "Well, you know, I like to think of God a bit like this." And she started to describe, well, a God made up in her own imagination. But what we've just seen in that wonderful Bible reading from John chapter 1 is that Jesus Christ has made God known. No one has ever seen God, but Jesus Christ has made him known. So if we want to know what God is like, where do we look? Well, we need to look at Jesus. A few verses earlier on in verse 14 of John chapter 1, we hear this sentence. The Word, and the Word means Jesus in the context, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That verse describes something called the incarnation, which simply means God became a human being. He made his home with us in the person of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So again, if we want to know what God is like, we look at that human being, Jesus Christ, who walked around on planet Earth 2,000 years ago because he is God as a human being. That verse goes on. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Jesus shows us the glory of God the Father, and in him we discover the truth about God. And that truth is wonderful. It says that God is full of grace. Well, that friend of mine wanted to know what Sharon was like, and that meant he had to meet her. To simply spend his day speculating what she might be like without ever meeting her would mean he was simply thinking about a fantasy girl, not the real thing. And as I say, so many people do that with God. They spend their time sitting contemplating a fantasy God, which I think is a shame when they can meet the real thing in Jesus. But let me conclude by highlighting just a couple of the things this chapter tells us about God. Things revealed to us through his son Jesus Christ. I've already mentioned that word grace. Verse 16 says, "From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. Even though we don't deserve it, God loves to bless those who come to him." Jesus loves to shower blessing upon us. That's the nature of grace. We don't deserve the blessing of God, but we can receive it. Or verses 4 and 5. "In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." That tells us that in Jesus we encounter the life-giving force of God, described as a light shining in the darkness. We exist because God made us and gave us life. But in this world, things have gone wrong. Too often our lives encounter darkness. But in Jesus, God shines as a light, bringing new life out of the darkness. As verses 12 and 13 describe it, in Jesus we can become children of God. That's a wonderful promise. In Jesus we can know God, and in Jesus we can become children of God. So friends, as I wish you a very happy Christmas, I do pray that you would seek God in the right place, in Jesus Christ. Because when we do, we discover blessing upon blessing. We discover this light that shines into the darkness of our lives now and forevermore. The right to become a child of God. The promise of eternal life. I brought along with me a few copies of John's Gospel this evening. It's a booklet that tells us a little bit more about Jesus. Perhaps you've never encountered the real God before. May I encourage you to take one of these from me as you leave. And take a short break from the TV. There's not much good on apart from Miranda these days, I find. Take a short break from TV and read it. No one has ever seen God, but Jesus Christ has made him known. This book tells us about him. And through him we can come to know the living God. Amen.